The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is Lordship Salvation a saving message? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We are joined today and for the rest of this week by Steve Elkins, a wonderful friend of Grace Evangelical Society and a brilliant thinker about biblical truth. So let's get right to their interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Steve Elkins. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And thank you for listening, whether you're a longtime listener or a more recent listener. Be sure to check out our webpage, faithalone.org, to listen to all of our episodes, because I think most podcast apps only list maybe the previous 100 episodes, and we're coming up. We're in the 900s right now. I can't believe we've been doing it that long, and you can listen to them all on our website. I don't know if you can listen to them all on your app, but thank you for your support and helping us keep on doing this. We're in a series with our friend Steve Elkins. Welcome, Steve. We're talking about Lordship Salvation. What is that? That was a big debate in the 80s. I think the debate kind of died down somewhere. It wasn't in the headlines anymore, but I see online in different Facebook groups and other groups, it's coming back into focus, and we're here to talk to you about what Lordship Salvation is, and here's the big question. Is Lordship Salvation a saving message? But just to recap, what is Lordship Salvation?
Well, it's a teaching that faith alone and Christ alone isn't enough to save, or they'll say naked faith isn't saving, or intellectual assent isn't enough to save you. You can't just believe the facts and be saved. You have to make Jesus the Lord of your life in some kind of subjective means. You have to surrender, commit. Now, how much they can't say, because obviously there's no verses that specify, because it's a false gospel, but you've got to repent. You've got to be a disciple. You've got to bear fruit. You've got to persevere, things like that.
Right. So somehow works, lifelong faith and lifelong good works, however many is necessary, we don't know, is necessary for salvation, to stay saved, to be saved in the end. There's Calvinistic versions of this. There's Arminian versions of this. And we said in previous episodes that probably the Roman Catholic and Orthodox and other traditions kind of fall under the Arminian umbrella, or it's the same kind of group of saying you need good works to be saved at all. Whereas a Calvinist, they'll formally say, no, we're justified by faith apart from works. But then they'll just kind of add, but if you're really saved, you'll do these faith and good works until you die. And that undermines assurance. But there are some new Calvinists who are a little more explicit, and they probably buck their own tradition and just say, no, you need to do these good works to be saved. It's not just a matter of proof. You need to do these good works to be saved at all, this final judgment.
To win final salvation. Yeah, that's what they call it.
So here's the question. Are these believers who are just confused, or is this still a saving message when you put works front and center in what you need to do to be saved? Or is there... can you be saved by believing this message? But I guess there are variations within here. The Calvinist version is not exactly like the Arminian version. So I don't know. What would you say?
Well, it's all the same. It's going to come down to work salvation. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But absolutely, it's not a saving message. And Jesus made that clear. For instance, in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Zane Hodges used to say, if there's any one passage that should do away with Lordship Salvation forever, it would be this passage. Remember, it begins by Jesus saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father.
Yeah.
Four times these guys are saying, Lord, Lord. These are not Buddhists. They're not Hindus. Okay, they're followers of Christ, if you will. They even point to their works. You know, we've cast out demons in your name. We've prophesied in your name, done all these works.
A lot of people miss that. Mm-hmm. They say, I've had lots of Lordship Salvation people go to this passage and say, see, you need to do good works to be saved. And I point out to them and say, wait a second. These guys have just pointed to their good works. And they're not just ordinary good works either.
Exactly.
These are like supernatural, big old works that I've never done. I don't even know if I've ever seen anyone.
Well, they've done these things, but they're not saving. Mm. They miss doing the one thing that would save them, that's doing the Father's will. And we can prove without a doubt that doing the Father's will always... every single time where Jesus is talking in the presence of non-believers, it refers to believing in the Son for everlasting life. So these are people, evidently, who've only been exposed to or at least only ever believed in the Lordship message. And they're turned away. Depart from me. I never knew you.
Yeah, it's not a saving message. But could a person that hears this Lordship message, could they somewhere in the midst of hearing all of this grasp the fact that simply by faith I have everlasting life, even though the person goes on to say, but you've got to persevere, you've got to do this?
That's an excellent question. I don't know if this is going to answer it for you, but in my opinion, there are people certainly who sit in the Catholic Church where the gospel's not presented clearly as a rule. But there are enough verses where, in God's mercy, and maybe somehow what they'd been thinking about or whatever led up to it, they did see the gospel in the verses and got saved, even though the preaching about it was not clear at all. Or somebody that maybe is sharing Christ with not such a clear gospel message, maybe even an overtly lordship message, but the person heard instead some part of the gospel, namely to believe in Jesus for eternal life, and they got it. And that could happen.
But they're not believing lordship salvation message at that point. They're believing the saving message and getting saved.
We just said, it's not a saving message.
So now you said that based on Matthew 7. Because Jesus says, I never knew you, and they're appealing to their works, and he never... Is there another verse? I mean, I don't know if that's the clearest...
We mentioned a time or two ago, Romans 4:5, where Paul says, to him who does not work...
Who does not work.
Now, it's nowhere explicitly said in the book of John that you've got to understand that you don't do works, you just believe.
Yeah.
But it's implied. In other words, if I understand that I get eternal life by just believing in Jesus, then I should be understanding I don't have to do anything else for it. I get it by just believing.
And there are a couple of places in John that imply it. For example, in John 5:39-40, Jesus says to some legalistic Jews, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me, that is, believe in me, in order that you may have life.
Exactly. And in my opinion, this could be controversial, but in John 3, whether it's John the Baptist or Jesus speaking here, he says, you do not come to the light, and I take the light as being the light of the world. He'd already talked about capital L. You do not come to the light, that is, come to faith in Christ, in my opinion, lest your deeds be exposed. Well, nearly everybody in the world's religions are works religions. They have been since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And so by coming to faith in Christ, realizing I get eternal life by just believing, in a sense, there's an implicit confession that I'm realizing my works can't save me.
Mm.
And people don't come to Jesus for that very reason. I mean, there's many other reasons, but it exposes their works that they're not able to save, and yet it's these works that they're trusting in, and they don't want to stop trusting in their works.
All right, how about this scenario? You have a Calvinist. He knows, justified by faith apart from works, he believes that's true, but in terms of his assurance, he's like, well, I'm not sure if I'm one of the elect. I'll know if I'm one of the elect if I have enough good works in my life until the end of my life. Is that a saving message, or has that person, like, they believe, I'm justified by faith apart from works, but if I'm one of the elect, I'm going to have these signs, or if I'm truly regenerate, I have some of these signs. Is that a confusion about the saving message, or is that a confusion about...
Years ago, we had a Young Life kid. He was a straight-A student. He was MVP on the football team and an all-state wrestler, really neat guy, and I wanted to ask him if he knew for sure if he died, if he'd go to heaven. He was dating a girl whose dad was a pastor of a very... unclear, to say the least, message on the Gospels. And I said, Chris, you know for sure if you died, whether you'd go to heaven. And he said, Steve, I know what y'all say every week, that you get eternal life by just believing. He said, and I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to have works to cover my bases.
Mm.
Now, when he said that...
Interesting, okay.
That indicates he's not believing the saving message. Because Jesus says whoever believes in me has eternal life.
Yeah, and also, Sean, you know, when a Calvinist says, I believe... in justification by faith apart from works, they don't say, I am justified by faith apart from works, unless they're talking about what they call initial justification. Some Calvinists now distinguish initial and final justification. Most Calvinists would say, I believe in justification by faith apart from works, but what they define faith as includes commitment, turning from sins, obedience, perseverance, and so as a result, they really don't believe. In fact, one of the you've heard this one a lot, Sean. Mm-hmm. A man is justified by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never alone.
Right.
That's a famous saying, and it strips justification by faith alone of its meaning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a singular promise that gives eternal life. It's this or its equivalent. The idea that Jesus gives eternal life to whomever believes him for it, period. If you believe that, you have eternal life.
So there's things you can believe about Jesus in terms of his person and his work, and yet you can fall short of actually believing in the promise of
Absolutely.
Eternal life or the promise of salvation.
Yeah.
So you can get, and a lot of people don't get this, and I find that even within free grace circles, it seems like, or self-identified free grace circles, you can get to the point of believing all these wonderful historical facts about Jesus, and they're true. They did. They're biblical. You should believe them, and yet not believe in him for the salvation that he promised.
Right. You know, Sean, I remember reading one of the people who now says what you're saying, and in the past he used to say you have to believe the three P's. You have to believe the person of Christ, the provision of Christ, and the promise of Christ. And the promise is everlasting life that can never be lost. While I don't agree that you need to have a full understanding of the person or the provision, that what you need to have is an understanding of the promise, and that it's the person and the provision that get me to believe the promise. But to take away the promise means you've now got a saving message where the person doesn't know if they have anything.
That's right. You know, Paul talks about the message of the cross. That's a synecdoche of the part, meaning.
What does synecdoche mean?
Synecdoche means it's sort of a shorthand, actually. He's not saying the whole thing. Just the message about the cross, that Christ died, that's not saving. That doesn't, there are a lot of people who believe Christ died, even for their sins. But obviously the message of the cross is the promise that comes out of it, that we get eternal life because of what Christ did for us on the cross.
Right. Well, this is controversial stuff. I wish it wasn't.
Right. But, you know, I think we should understand that it is, because all through the scriptures, we're told that there is going to be tribulation and there's going to be confusion and there's going to be teaching that is not correct. And the teaching is not always outside the church. I mean, the book of Galatians is about teachers who came inside the churches of Galatia, confusing them about work salvation.
That's right. In Acts 20, as Paul's doing his farewell with the Ephesian elders, he says, many are going to come from within you, and they're going to be wolves that are going to destroy the grace message that he's presenting.
So we'll end with this. We began by asking the question, is Lordship salvation a saving message? And your answer is...
absolutely not.
Because if you're believing in your works, you are not believing...
that's right.
...in Jesus for the salvation he promises.
That's right.
All right. The question we're going to ask in the next episode is Lordship salvation, how does it understand saving faith?
And maybe we can also talk about their view of repentance if we have time in that same episode.
I like that idea, Bob. Stay tuned for that discussion.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss how saving faith and repentance relate to Lordship salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.